Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
When the rule of young King Solomon of Israel had been firmly established, he made a treaty with Egypt's Pharaoh and married his daughter. Marriages for political purposes have been common throughout history. However, although his father David had done this too, it presented a danger to Israel. Famous non-Israelite women of the past, like Rahab and Ruth, who also married Jewish husbands, were devout followers of the Jewish God of Israel. But Pharaoh's daughter wasn't Solomon's first marriage. He already had an Ammonite wife and his first son, Rehoboam. The law didn't prohibit Israelites from marrying foreigners, but it did stop them from marrying Canaanites or any foreigner who worshipped false gods. The scriptures don't tell us what religion Pharaoh's daughter believed in, but there's no testimony to faith in the one true God. Because Solomon also hadn't yet built the temple of God to worship and sacrifice in, the Israelites were offering sacrifices on altars they had built on mounds where Canaanites had worshipped their false gods. Clearly, God was displeased with the people worshipping at these formerly pagan worship sites. Although they may have been worshipping the Lord, there remained the possibility that pure godly worship might become polluted with false gods' worship practices. Solomon himself followed the law in all respects, except that he offered sacrifices on these high places as well, the most important being the one at Gibeon, where the original tent of meeting or tabernacle of God with a bronze altar for burnt offerings were originally located. Solomon travelled to Gibeon and there offered 1,000 burnt offerings because he loved the Lord. God was evidently pleased with the offerings because God appeared to Solomon in a dream.
And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. While he was in Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and said,
Solomon, ask what I shall give thee.
Give me an understanding mind to govern thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this thy great people?
I shall do according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee.
Your Majesty, the next case concerns two women, each claiming the other cheated her out of her child.
Cheated each other out of her child? Bring them before me.
Yes, sire. Bring the two women before His Majesty. Tell His Majesty exactly what happened.
Well, Your Majesty, this woman and I each bore a son. I was present at her delivery and she at mine. They were only 3 days apart. No one was present but the two of us. During the night, this woman's child died, and she arose and took my baby son from beside me while I slept, and put her dead son in my bosom, and took my son into her bosom, and in
That's
the morning...
That's not true, Your Majesty. That's what she did. In the morning when I awoke, my little child was dead. But when I considered the matter and looked closely at the living baby, I realized it was mine.
He's mine. Your son is the one who died.
He's mine.
General, give me your sword.
Yes, sire.
Now we shall take the sword and divide the living baby in half. And give one half to one mother and the other half to the other mother. Lay the child down. And, General,
No, Your Majesty. Give her the living child. Do not slay it.
Let the child be neither hers or mine, but divided as you say, Your Majesty.
Scribe, this woman, the one who does not wish to have the baby slain, this is the true mother. Give the child to her.
But, Your Majesty, I thought you were...
Oh, thank you, Your Majesty, thank you.
And all Israel and all the nations round about heard of the judgment which King Solomon had made. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment.
When God told Solomon to ask him for something, Solomon felt overwhelmed by the heavy responsibility of caring for God's chosen people. He was about 20 years old at the time. Solomon asked for a discerning heart so he could govern God's people well. He needed God's wisdom to apply that knowledge correctly. This request reminds us of the New Testament book of James, chapter 1, which says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." God was pleased that Solomon's request had been so unselfish and that his primary concern was for the welfare of his people. So God gave Solomon supernatural wisdom, with the result that Solomon was wiser than any other person before or since in the world, except for Jesus Christ himself. In addition to wisdom, God also promised to give Solomon other blessings that he hadn't asked for, such as riches, honor, and a long life if Solomon remained walking in God's ways and obeying his commands. Once again, we see that enjoyment of God's old covenant blessings was conditional on someone's obedience. The Lord Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 6 that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be given to us as well. We receive spiritual gifts by seeking them. We receive temporary gifts like Solomon's riches and honors by not asking for them. We aren't to ask for gifts just to satisfy our own self-centered desires. Rather, our goal is to give God the glory and allow his Holy Spirit to empower us in extending God's kingdom here on earth. After Solomon awoke from his dream conversation with God, he returned to Jerusalem and presented offerings before the Ark of the Lord. Over his lifetime, Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs, some of which are preserved in the Bible book of Proverbs, 1,005 songs, of which two are preserved in Psalms 72 and 127, and a book called Song of Songs, which is also thought to have been written by Solomon. Solomon didn't write all the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. Some toward the end were added much later than Solomon's time. What is a proverb? It's a short statement based on long earthly experience. Many of the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs are contrasts or comparisons about wise and foolish choices, and right and wrong attitudes and behaviors. Such sayings deal with the moral and ethical aspects of life. They're practical and point the way to godly character and a fulfilled life. The theme of Proverbs is wisdom, but more than wisdom being an intellectual pursuit, it also involves full devotion to the Lord. The wisdom described in Proverbs is like a spiritual sixth sense. It enables a person to evaluate circumstances and people and make the right decisions in life. The book of Proverbs focuses primarily on this life and not the next one. In the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, wisdom is referred to using a female tense. Why is this? Wisdom isn't literally a woman, but rather a quality that is only able to be assessed by our minds. Solomon describes wisdom as though it were a real person, which can be done when writing poetic literature. In the English language wisdom, the it word is neither male nor female gender. Yet in the original Hebrew, where it was natural to talk about wisdom, wisdom is referred to as a she. The order of Proverbs from chapter 10 onwards has a degree of repetition in it about subjects over different chapters. For example, the topic of gossiping in different places says, "Gossip is spread by wicked people. They stir up trouble and break up friendships. Gossip is so tasty, how we love to swallow it. A gossip can never keep a secret. Stay away from people who talk too much." If you find that gossiping is a weakness in your character, consider the following advice. Don't associate yourself with a person known to be a gossip. When someone starts to gossip, change the subject. If you're not part of the problem or part of the solution, stay out of it, but pray. If you've fallen into the bad habit of gossiping, ask God to change your heart. When you've been the victim of gossip, confront the parties that spread the rumour. And here's some proverbs on the subject of how to treat poor people. If you make fun of poor people, you insult the God who made them. You'll be punished if you take pleasure in someone's misfortune. Don't take advantage of the poor just because you can. When you give to the poor, it's like lending to the Lord, and the Lord will pay you back. Over 25 years ago, a doctor specializing in bones and joint problems in America opened a medical practice where any patient who needed medical care could receive it. No one was turned away if they couldn't pay for the services that they had received. Every working day, this doctor had 35 to 45 patients come to the clinic. To pay his clinic expenses, he worked at a local hospital every second weekend. He explained why he opened such a practice. In Luke chapter 14, verse 14, God introduced him to the founding principle for the clinic. It was God's personal promise to him, "And you will be blessed because they are not able to pay you back. God will repay you on the day the good people rise from death." There are also many proverbs about laziness. A slacker or sluggard is a person who has the ability to work but refuses to do so. He lacks the drive, personal responsibility, and or common sense to provide for his own needs. Rather, this person likes sleep and dislikes work. Such people are called to get busy and work hard to honour God with their lives. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 it says, "Whoever refuses to work is not allowed to eat." More than just providing for our own needs, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, believers in the Lord Jesus are encouraged to help those in need. It says, "Everyone must make up his own mind as to how much he should give. Don't force anyone to give more than he really wants to, for cheerful givers are the ones God prizes. God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not be only enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. It is as the scriptures say, 'The godly man gives generously to the poor. His good deeds will be an honour to him forever.'" Furthermore, in James chapter 2, it says, "Dear brothers, what's the use of saying that you have faith and are Christians if you aren't proving it by helping others? Will that kind of faith save anyone? If you have a friend who's in need of food and clothing and you say to him, 'Well, goodbye and God bless you, stay warm and eat hearty,' then don't give him any clothes or food, what good does that do?" So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. You must also do good to prove that you have it. Faith that doesn't show itself by good works is no faith at all. It is dead and useless. But someone may well argue, "You say the way to God is by faith alone plus nothing." Well, I say that good works are important too. For without good works, you can't prove whether you have faith or not. But anyone can see that I have faith by the way I act. When will you ever learn that believing is useless without doing what God wants you to do? Faith that doesn't result in good deeds is not real faith. When you do a good deed for someone else, don't brag or boast about it. The Lord Jesus taught in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 2, "When you give something to a needy person, do not make a big show of it. But when you help a needy person, do it in such a way that even your closest friend will not know about it. Then it will be a private matter, and your Father, who sees what you do in private, will reward you." Often in the Scriptures, a foolish person is associated with wickedness and a direct denial of God. Because God has infinite wisdom, the person who neglects God naturally misses out on receiving wisdom and thinking from a sound mind. He or she will become a foolish person. A fool is someone who doesn't follow the warnings and commands of God. It is a fool who lacks wisdom, has no concern for others, does not desire to avoid sin, and brags about his sinful actions. The Scripture is clear that we are to avoid living foolishly. Rather, we are to fear the Lord, walk in His wisdom, and follow His ways. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.